Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. Yea, we wept. There we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, who in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Amen. In the providence of the Lord, began this series on the Psalms more than 137 weeks ago. There have been times when I've not been here. There have been times when the prayer meeting has been a slightly different format. So I don't know exactly how many weeks ago it was that we began. But we have reached this point in this series, looking at one psalm each week, approximately. And at the same time, we have been reading other parts of the scriptures. We have read through the Book of Proverbs, and Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Book of Job, and also now in Ezekiel. And I had no idea, of course I had no idea, the way that the two passages that we read tonight would come together. Ezekiel chapter 35, the word of the Lord against Mount Seir, against the land of Edom. And the psalm which speaks against the children of Edom, those who said, raise it, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. And even the psalms we've sung, we sing through the Book of Psalms, just the next few verses of whatever psalm it is that we are on. And this evening we sang in Psalm 35. And that's a psalm which calls for the judgment of God upon his enemies. Again, a psalm that harmonizes with this psalm and with the passage in Ezekiel. And we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when we see that God brings his word together, as it were, for us. One of the ways that the Lord would show us his purpose in his word is through one part of scripture casting light upon another part of scripture. That's why maybe you've read something at home and you've come to church to worship God that day or a day or so later, and it's something that connects with it that's read or is preached upon. The Lord in his mercy brings for us different parts of his word together to give us a clearer understanding. Sometimes maybe you found the exact same passage. It comes up in your daily reading. It comes up in your Bible study. It comes up because that's what's preached on in the Lord's Day morning. Someone mentions it to you in the afternoon. All that repetition, emphasizing the Lord, underlining something for you. So we shouldn't be surprised when we find what we might describe as a coincidence. We see the Lord's appointment in bringing these parts of his word together. But nor should we be surprised because judgment is a recurring theme in Scripture. Judgment is a recurring theme in Scripture. It's maybe not a theme that we like to dwell on. And perhaps because of that, we don't maybe recognise how often it appears. It's an uncomfortable theme. And it's maybe in part because it's an uncomfortable theme that we're not familiar with the second part of this psalm. I suppose you are quite familiar with the start of the psalm, the metrical version particularly, by Babel Streams we sat and wept, when Sion we thought on, in midst thereof we hanged our harps, the willow trees upon. And we're familiar with that because we would sing that quite frequently. In the beginning of the psalm we find a lament, and we also find an expression of resolve. There's the lament of those who are in exile and the grief of being out of their own place and the judgment of God against them. And yet, within it, there's a resolve not to forget the place that God has given them, not to forget God who gave them that place. And I suppose we readily relate to that. We relate to the lament because, isn't it true, you're often cast down. Oftentimes you feel far away. Oftentimes you feel afflicted. And so just as the psalmist spoke about sitting at Babel Streams weeping, in your tears you're able to express these words. And too, you know something of that resolve, not to forget. Not to forget the cause of the Lord. Not to fail to sing his praise. That resolve, that determination to live for his glory. Yes, you're conscious of your weakness. Sometimes you're overwhelmed with a sense of smallness and insignificance. And yet despite that, you're willing to stand and to testify and to serve. But the final few verses of the psalm are something different, aren't they? From verse 7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stone. I think maybe one of the reasons why we are slow to reflect upon judgment and certainly slow to sing about judgment is perhaps because we don't maybe suffer so much. We don't see so much of the raw violence, of the outrageous abuse that engulfs other parts of the church. There are some nations, there are some communities, and they're very aware of a siege at the door of the church. And perhaps in that context, there is a greater desire for the Lord to come and to vindicate his cause and to bring judgment, to stop, to prevent, to undo, and cast down the enemies of the cause, those who violently oppress, who abuse, for the sake of Jesus Christ. But because we don't see that so much, we're maybe lulled into a kind of a delusion, or lulled into a kind of an apathy. Maybe another reason is that we don't see the outrageousness of sin. Not just the violence that works out in the experience of some of the believers, but just how sinful sin is. We've become reconciled, familiar. We live in a society where that's just the way it is. We're lulled into an indifference. We live in a society where there's an absolute contempt and there's a hostility against the Lord. And yet, there's a very thin veil of sophistication. We live in a society that's sophisticated and that's comfortable. And there's that temptation, isn't there, just to go with the flow, just to sell out ultimately. And perhaps because then we do not experience that affliction, and perhaps because we're not then that troubled by the sinfulness of sin, we are not so ready to seek the just, holy judgment of God. Certainly, any reluctance to sing these words cannot be because you are too merciful. Because you can't be more merciful than God. And God, in his mercy, has given us these words to use. It is not mercy to deny judgment. It is not mercy to prevent or obstruct judgment. You might say, but why is this repeated theme in Scripture, if God is merciful? You might say that, you might ask that. But you need to understand, this repeated theme is in Scripture because God is merciful. Let me try to explain that. I suspect you're all aware that after the Jacobite Rising was suppressed at Culloden, there was an attempt to eliminate the threat presented by the Highland clans, or certainly those that had supported the Jacobite cause. And so they were prevented from bearing arms. They weren't permitted to carry their weapons or to possess weapons. And amongst the list of prohibited weapons were the bagpipes. You say, but the bagpipes aren't a weapon. Maybe badly played they are. But the bagpipes aren't a weapon. How could the bagpipes be regarded as a weapon of war? But have you never seen what the bagpipes do? When the bagpipes are played, they instill a confidence and a power amongst those for whom they're being played. And if you were an opposing army, they would instill in you a sense of fear and intimidation. The bagpipes are actually a mighty weapon of war. And there's a sense in which the words of this psalm and the psalms which like it call for the judgment of God serve a similar purpose. They're given for two reasons. To instill in the people of God a holy boldness, a confidence, an assurance of the greatness and the dominion of God, of certain victory. But also they are given to intimidate the enemies of our Lord and of his Christ. They're given to terrify those who stand against them and refuse his mercy and would do battle with him and would kick against his church and would seek to destroy those who are counted as the apple of his eye. And the sound of these psalms is to warn those of coming destruction. And just as the sound of the bagpipes say, the army is near. either flee or surrender, or you'll be cut down. But the words of these Psalms are given to say Christ is coming. Christ is near. There's no good fleeing because there's nowhere to flee to, but come, submit and surrender. It says in verse 8, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Speaking of the honourable calling for those who bring judgment upon heathen. Now that was kind of typified in the events of the nations. And in the history you see how one nation brought down another nation. But ultimately really, it's speaking of that judgment that will come not through history, but at the end of history. It will be the Lord who brings down. It will be the Lord who brings to account. It will be the Lord who removes. And therefore today, friends, don't remain hardened in sin if that's your state. But repent and seek mercy while today it may be found. And for those of you who love the Lord, hear this terrifying sound. Be stirred and motivated and encouraged. Because Christ, who has called you, is the one who is triumphant and who will bring that final victory. It may be that we sing these words with a great sense of humility, it should be. It may be that we sing these words with tears as we think of their outworking in the lives of many, and so it should be. But we must sing them because we must also remember that in the bringing down of his enemies and the silencing of his foes, Christ is exalted.